I'm Paul Harris. This is 84 WHAS. Thank you very much for listening. Let me introduce you to Greg Kritzer. Greg wrote the books Generation RX and Fatland, where he has looked at the so-called obesity crisis in this country and the number of people who are living in pharmacy land. And now he's back with a brand new book called Eternity Soup, Inside the Quest to End Aging. Greg, welcome back to the show. It's a pleasure to have you on 84 WHAS.
Thank you, Paul.
Eternity Soup is about people desperately trying to stay young, even though no matter what they do, the second hand clicks forward, the calendar page keeps turning. But you found people all across this country who want to stop that process or reverse it, right?
That's right. And, you know, this has, you know, been happening for a while, but a lot of this has been fueled by two things. First, the numbers. We know that the percentage of people over 65 is increasing dramatically. Between now and 2050, the population will grow to 24%. So 24% of the population will be over 65 by 2050. There will be 1 million centenarians. So that's one big force driving this. And I think the other is that, you know, many of our older ideas about the science of aging have changed. We once thought that it was inevitable, universal, and something that could not be interfered with. But laboratory animals have shown us that all three of those things are not true, that aging, the process can be arrested in certain organisms. So those two things have confused to overturn some of our ideas about aging, and that's led to what you talked about, the creation of the anti-aging medical industry.
Okay, so is this really a matter of trying to live longer, or is it a matter of cougars trying to get younger guys and looking younger to meet them, and guys who are in their middle years and older trying to not look as old so that they can get laid? Let's be honest here, Greg.
Well, I think there's, you know, a part of it that's that. I mean, I think that you know, sexual drive is behind most of what we do throughout our lives. But I think that there, you know, is a part of this that goes beyond that. And I think the science is legitimate. That is to say, this is very mainstream academic science. I think the part of it that is troubling is the use of that science to sell a lot of different kinds of products that just do not pay off.
Yeah. And you know a little bit about this because your parents are going to, what's the guy called, a longevity doctor?
Yeah, you know, that's actually controversial in itself, you know, because of some of the heat these doctors have taken for what they're doing. They have changed their names to age management, longevity management, et cetera. But basically most of them are following and prescribing hormones. And hormones, both the sex hormones and human growth hormone, which is quite expensive, as anyone who's listening to the show who've tried it know.
How's that working out for your parents?
Well, I think that, you know, they don't use the expensive stuff. They use a compounded cream of a prescription testosterone. And, you know, there have definitely been some benefits in terms of better memory, better energy, et cetera. You know, but the real question is what's sold versus what the benefits are. The benefits generally are fairly modest. What's sold is something like turning back the hands of the clock, which clearly these compounds do not do.
Okay, so for people who are not trying what your parents are trying, but are really trying to, I want to go for the more appealing aspect of this because I think that is a big part of anti-aging. Is this really a scam being put forth? Is there an anti-aging con game going on in this country?
Well, I think to avoid the libel police, let me just say that I think that there's an element of predation here. I mean, that to me, there's really nothing wrong with seeking hormone therapy because there's something behind it. It may be overblown. The problem to me is when you go to one of these doctors, you won't just get hormone therapy. You will be sold an extensive number of blood tests that are utterly unnecessary. You'll be sold hundreds, sometimes thousands of dollars of vitamins and minerals, which, as you know, usually end up as expensive urine, and you'll be sold the services of someone monitoring your health. which is utterly unnecessary as well. So you can go in for something relatively inexpensive and perhaps helpful and end up with paying, you know, thousands, maybe even $100,000 in some cases, of medical management that is utterly unnecessary. So I think that's predatory. Whether it's an intentional con game or not, I just I'm reluctant to say that.
Okay. Talking with Greg Kritzer, the author of Eternity Soup here on 84 WHAS. Greg, what is the Caloric Restriction Society? Sounds like Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig.
Well, Paul, the Caloric Restriction Society is a fairly small group of people who are basically trying to be laboratory animals. And let me tell you why. You know, the only way that we know we can expand maximum lifespan in an organism is through intentional caloric restriction. That is to say, eating 30 to 40% less of what you normally would or what your body weight calls for on an ongoing basis. And we know that with mice, for example, that will extend their lifespan 30 to 40%. We don't know at all if it works for human beings, and there's quite a bit of evidence that suggests that it won't. But nonetheless, this fairly small society has taken it upon themselves to undertake caloric restriction, which, you know, to me is, I can't imagine it, life without pizza, you know, that's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
So it's out of the question for me, but look, if they're willing to do that, they're not, you know, trying to push it on other people. My basic feeling was, you know, let them try it.
Well, that's the libertarian in me. You want to do something to yourself? Doesn't hurt somebody else? Go ahead. I don't care. It's not going to hurt me.
Just don't invite me over for dinner.
Yeah, well, you know what? I don't think there'll be enough. Here's the funny thing to me about it, and this is more weight loss than life extension, but when it comes to trying to reduce calories or all the rest of that sort of stuff and drop pounds, it really comes down to four simple words, which is, you know, eat less, exercise more. That's it. But Americans are amazing in that four words is still too many. We want it down to two words, take pill.
I think you're right, you know, or deny, one word. That seems to be where we're at.
Yeah.
And, you know, after Fatland came out, it was attacked for being, you know, overstating the problem, and what's happened since is I was quite modest and conservative about what I thought about obesity and what was happening to people.
Greg, did you try any of these life extending treatments? Are you on any sort of treatment plan now?
No plan. You know, I resist plans. But I did try testosterone replacement at a fairly low dose. And, you know, this is what I can say about it. Its effects are pretty modest. You know, they're small effects. They're somewhat helpful. I had a brain concussion at the time, so it was helpful in removing some of the confusion and stuff that followed the long-term effects of it. But, you know, again, you know, these are the sex hormones are relatively inexpensive, and unless you have a strong background of cancer in your family, someone 50 or older can try them with relative safety and without draining, you know, their pocketbook.
Was that prescribed to you by what we would consider a regular primary care physician?
No, that's the big market niche that these guys have entered. Primary care physicians are very leery of hormones, mainly because they don't know very much about it. So they take, you know, a fairly conservative route. But these guys have said, well, wait a minute, we can turn our practices into all cash practices because insurance companies don't pay for this stuff. And that is one of the principal reasons you have so many anti-aging doctors right now. These are people who want a cash practice.
So when you talk about it being mildly effective, and when you hear testosterone, people are going to think, oh, it was sexual. But you talked about it doing it because you had a concussion. How did it help you?
There were, you know, post-concussion, you can see the extreme effects of it with, you know, professional athletes. For me, it was a little less radical, but, you know, I had a lot of forgetfulness, a lot of jumpiness, grumpiness, that was more grumpiness than I normally had. And I did have some loss of muscle mass. I mean, not that I'm particularly muscular, but I did have that. And those things seem to have improved. So I have to give it to you know, to that experimentation, at least so far, being helpful.
Now you're starting to sound like Mark McGuire.
You know, testosterone is kind of interesting. You know, it's for a long time people were very hesitant about prescribing it, even in low doses. But we now know there's accumulating evidence in mainstream medical journals that it can be quite helpful on a number of fronts if it's given in moderation and if it's, you know, watched by a physician.
I'm Paul Harris here at 84 WHAS talking with Greg Kritzer, whose new book is Eternity Soup, Inside the Quest to End Aging. And we're talking about gerontology and people fighting back against growing older in every way that they can, and how there is some scientific and medicinal reason to get some of these treatments, some of them valid, but some of them not so valid. Greg, what were some of the more extreme treatments you found as you researched this anti-aging craze?
Well, I mean, they're really all over the place. If you go to the annual conference of the American Association of Anti-Aging Medicine, which is held instructively at the Venetian Hotel in Las Vegas every year.
Yep, I love the Venetian, but of course it had to be in Las Vegas, the home of people who don't want to believe how old they really are.
Yeah, in the medical center science capital of the world. Yeah.
Yes.
So, and you go onto the floor of that vast, it's huge, and you find really everything. There is a guy who claims to establish your connection to gravity again through this giant machine that he sells.
What, do you get up on top of the machine and jump off?
No, he claims that one reason that we age is that because we have a weak connection to gravity's beneficial effects. So I didn't know we had a problem with gravity, because the last time I saw that we were all firmly hooked to the ground.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the law.
So that's why I thought that was kind of amazing. There are all kinds of, what would you call it, claims for various kinds of extracts, lotions. The best one, you'll like this, the best one I saw was a lotion called Virgin Again. and I have to tell you, Paul, it was being sold by someone who looked like they were virgin never. I have to say, if you ever want to have a really great, show that you can take on the road, you've got to go to this, because it's kind of an endless, it's like being at a 19th century traveling medicine show.
Yeah, the anti-aging carnival. Ooh, try this cream. Ooh, try this potion, which is exactly what I would expect it to be. And by the way, for breakfast here, have a blueberry.
Yeah, in that case, that was the Caloric Restriction Society, and they had a meditation breakfast where they were trying to get you to just eat two or three things, three or four blueberries, three or four potato chips to, to experience true hunger. Well, now, I was there, and I was thinking, you guys are already starving. You're already experiencing true hunger. So I didn't quite understand that, but I have to give them the benefit. Look, these are people who are not asking for anybody else's help, and they're not imposing it on other people. And maybe they will end up making a discovery about human longevity. I don't know.
I'm not holding my breath. last thing we got to talk about here, if people want to make their life last as long as they possibly can and make it as good a life as they possibly can. But I have an aunt who's in her 90s. My grandparents live to be nearly 100 years old. I've met people who are over 100 years old. None of them have a life that comes close to the one that I want to live any longer. I'll be honest with you. I had an aunt, a great aunt actually, 4 days before her 100th birthday, she said, no one should be 100. And she died. And I think she was right. What do the people who you meet say about that?
Well, that's a very common attitude, but it's fairly rare to, I think, find a person like your aunt who either was cognitively wanted to end her life. That many years was enough. Often, people will say, "Oh, by the time I am 85, that's fine if I go." Well, you hit 85 and you start changing your mind about that.
Yeah.
So I think it's very human to want to live as healthy as you can for as long as you can. But the big problem is trying to extend that healthy period of aging. And we've done some things on that, but we've got a long way to go.
I should say that my mom is 85 right now and doing just fine and nowhere near coming to the end of her life. But, 20 years from now, I'm sure she'll feel differently about that. And I don't know how people think they want to live to be 150 or 160. You're going to retire in your 60s and live another 100 years? How are you going to afford that?
Exactly. That, and outside of the kind of crazy part of anti-aging world is the legitimate concerns about the aging of the country and exactly those issues you're talking about. And that's one of the things I wanted to get into in the book. Towards the end of it, I talk about some of the things we might think about doing that have nothing to do with medicine, but have everything to do with encouraging more social interaction with elderly people, which we know is extremely healthy for them, and I think beneficial for us as a society because of some of the wisdom that they can bring.
The book is a fun read. It's called Eternity Soup, Inside the Quest to End Aging by Greg Kritzer. And thank you so much for joining me here today.
As usual, it's been a delight. Thanks, Paul.
I'm Paul Harris. This is 84 WHAS.